As we sit, let's just bow our heads for a moment. Your Majesty, we can but bow. We sing, Lord, the words of those songs heartily, and we mean them from our hearts as we want to hear from you now and learn more about you and what eternity may be like. Lord, encourage us, we pray this morning. Excite us in our faith as we go out into this new week, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've got a Bible, it might be helpful because we're doing Revelation today. That might have become obvious from the readings. The bit of liturgy that Ruth shared earlier on were snippets you might have spotted from 1 Corinthians 13, and the other one was from one of the epistles, because we've rather missed most of the New Testament, and we're finishing off today with Revelation. And I'm not going to be able to answer all your questions, but I hope I can encourage you from what I'm going to share this morning. And there will be some pictures, I think, to go up, hopefully, on the screen. Thanks, Rob, very much for that. I wonder what kind of books you enjoy reading. Just think for a moment what you might be reading as you go to sleep at night. What kind of things interest you, stimulate you? I wonder if you have a favourite kind of book, or even a favourite book. Maybe you've read a story recently and you've not wanted it to end. The story was just so brilliant, so engaging and exciting. You wanted it to keep going and going and going and to never, ever end. Well, today we finish our journey through the Bible. That doesn't mean we put the Bible on the shelf and leave it there for a few years, but this is just our overview of the scriptures that we've been doing over these past months. We finished the last page of God's story as we've read it. The fantastic thing we can take from it is that the upper story, not our lower story, but the upper story, the overarching story, doesn't end with the last verse of Revelation. It keeps on going forever and forever and ever. But if you're like me, as created beings, that's hard, so very hard to grasp. If you can grasp forever, then come and tell me about it at the end. Terry and I, on one of my days off, were in Woodbridge the other week, and there was a shop that said, "Oh, books 20p. I registered with me. So we went in, and there were lots of copies of C.S. Lewis's The Last Battle, at the end of his Narnia books. And so I bought about, 20 copies, I think I've got. If you've not read it, please do take, I'm not going to charge you 20p, please do take a book at the end, and maybe it'll encourage you to read the rest of the series of the Narnia books. It's a super take on the end times. Thanks, Rob, for putting up that picture. So as I said, there'll be copies at the back. I don't want to go home with 20 copies. If you've not read it, take one, or take one to give to somebody to read. As his story comes to a conclusion, he says, and thanks for the next slide, Rob, thank you. He says these words: "The term is over. The holidays have begun. The dream is ended. This is the morning." And that's one of the original pictures from his books, and it's in this book that you could take with you, of part of the judgment of leaving earth and going in to heaven. A super book, if you like that kind of thing. But what he's saying there is all that has gone before, everything, all history, is just the start for all that is to come for all eternity. And more of that book a little bit later. But as I said, the final book of Revelation, final book of the Bible, is Revelation. And maybe you struggle with it, maybe you've read it, maybe you haven't read it. Dip into it and have a look at it. Because it reveals how life on earth as we know it will end. However, God could just have easily called it the new beginning, I think, rather than Revelation. Because it's all about what life in God's perfect community will be like. Thank you, Rob. My next picture. Like C.S. Lewis hints in all his imaginary books on the country, the land of Narnia, Revelation may mark the end of the Bible, but it's really the beginning of a brand new, never-ending adventure story with Jesus. And what could be better than that? I believe that the Apostle John wrote Revelation, wrote it as a book, as an old man on the island of Patmos, where he was banished to spend his last years like a castaway, cut off on an island. The authorities at that time thought that he would keep him, that would keep him quiet. Boy, did they get that wrong. God visits his dear friend John and gives him a clear vision of what is yet to come and what the kingdom of God is going to be like. And John pens it there in Revelation, and it's given hope to countless believers in dark times down through the centuries, maybe even you. The reading John read to us, we'll come back to it later, from Revelation chapter 21. I use it, they say Ruth does, sometimes at funerals to encourage people with the hope that there is in dark times for those who trust in Jesus. For all Christians, and we were reminded last week when we had our talk about open doors, we're reminded of those who endure persecution at this time, but all believers will have that wonderful place to look forward to, that perfect, would you believe it, perfect community. If you're part of a community, if you're part of this church, believe me, it's not perfect. Any community is not perfect, but that one will be amazing, where we will, as believers, someday be with Jesus. Now, as I said, there's not enough time to engage with the whole of the book of Revelation. Maybe you'll look at it in one of your home groups. Yet I wonder if, as we look at Revelation, and particularly chapters 21 and 22 this morning, are you reminded, I wonder, of that first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1 and 2, that we looked at way back in September? Thank you, Rob, if you can put the next slide in. Just one click for me. We read John writing in Revelation, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea." Remember how the story we've looked at began? Thank you, Rob. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Our future home will be a completely new earth, one that's not groaning, one that's not falling apart or dying any longer because of sin and all that is in the world as we know it. Thank you, Rob. And one more click for me. We read in chapter 21, "I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband." Jesus also mentions it in John chapter 14 when he said that he's going to prepare a place for his followers. We'll have a brand new place to live on a brand new earth with Jesus. But you see, even that's not enough for God, though. Remember why he created us in the first place? Do you remember why? The major theme of that upper story of God, of the whole of history that we've been considering? Well, there it is. "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them.'" How exciting is that, that we're going to be together with Jesus forever? It's incredible stuff. It's hard to get our human created minds around it. God going to be with us. Just like at creation when he walked with Adam and Eve in the garden, walking and talking with you and me as he intended, as he initially wanted it to be. Death, pain, tears, sickness, sadness will be no more. Thank God. That's all lower story stuff. God's been keen to wipe tears away that we've shed in our lower story lives. Maybe you have shed those kind of tears. Maybe you've cried and been bereaved as someone that you've loved has died. Someone maybe who's followed Jesus through their lives have died. Thank you, Rob. See the finger of that very famous picture, Michelangelo's painting, wiping away tears from your eyes, as one day you will meet your loved ones again in glory. How wonderful is that assurance from our God. One of Lewis's characters in The Last Battle, I did say I was going to come back to it, thank you Rob, is Reepy Cheep. Try saying that fast. And he's there in the last battle, and these are the words he speaks. I have come home at last. This is my real country. I belong here. This is the land I've been looking for all my life, though I never knew it till now. Come further up. Come further in. And Lewis paints this picture. As we go further in, it gets even bigger, God's kingdom, this wonderful place that we're going to be. I wonder if you remember back to when we began, as I mentioned, back in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, with the Garden of Eden in creation at the beginning of the story. Look again at these verses with me, thanks Rob, from Revelation 22. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, wow, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. It's all under reconstruction with changes made to be better for us. The tree of life is there. Did you spot that in those words on the screen? It's there again as it was in Eden, which bore fruit to eternal life. Now, then, whenever that is in the future, there will be unguarded access to it, along with many other trees who bear fruit constantly. Everything in that reading is about abundant life. No death, sickness, fading, nothing like that. Abundant life. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, notice, isn't there because it isn't needed, as all of those who will be there have made the life-giving choice of accepting forgiveness in Jesus, and they're there with him forever. What will overwhelm us, I believe, will be the face of God. We shall see his face. Diz mentioned something like that as we were worshipping a few moments ago. I think that will overwhelm me. I long to see his face, as I'm sure you do too. It will overwhelm us, the face of God showing intense love for us. Intense love for you. Do you know that this morning? Such love that went to such great lengths to get us back. I firmly believe that overwhelming love will cause us to continually worship him, joining with the heavenly host, as in chapter 4 and chapter 5, singing, "Holy, holy, holy." There'll be no more sipping of water for me because my throat gets dry. We'll have all the energy that we need to worship constantly. Such love for you and for me. Thank you, Rob. In the Narnia books, Jesus is pictured, as you may well know, as Aslan, the great lion. And Lewis again says, as you can read there, "And as he spoke, he no longer looked to them like a lion, but the things that began to happen after that were so great and beautiful that I cannot write them." That's Lewis trying to put into words the unimaginable glory and splendor of our Jesus on the throne. To gaze on our Jesus, we can only imagine him in all his indescribable glory. But we will be home, finally. And that's something to give thanks for. The ultimate home of which we all probably yearn at times in our lives. A place of rest. Just consider, a place of comfort and peace, of joy, of life, of love. I could carry on with all those adjectives. Will be a place, a home of wholeness. Not your body falling apart like as I get older, I find mine, or whatever it might be. a place of wholeness. Have you thought of that? Imagined that? Try that for a moment. A place of completion with your Creator, my Creator, our Abba Father, who loves us so completely and relentlessly. I throw that word in there because I fail him daily, as I guess you do too. But he loves us relentlessly, not giving up on us, thankfully. That there's nothing he won't do to save us. Yet, bringing us down to earth, we still do now live in our lower story. But he knows what your lower story and mine is like. Some good, some not. Some with problems, some with joys, some with sorrows. I'm sure you'll probably all agree with me that we do our best as husbands, children, wives, parents, bosses, employers, employees, loads of other roles that you probably can imagine, where things don't quite turn out the way we'd planned. You and I fall flat on our faces. However much we try to do good and right things, we sadly never seem to be quite good enough for ourselves or for others. Of measuring up, I suppose, you could say. Some words I'm going to ask Rob to put on the screen. I apologise, some at the top have gone off, but I'm going to read them to you. Randy Frazee, who works with Max Lucado in the church in America, it was his idea of this overarching story, upper and lower story. I've quoted him before, and he says these words: our best efforts are like filthy rags before the shimmering holiness of God. But it's not up to us to make it happen. God provided another way through his beloved Son, Jesus. This, he says, is why God is writing an upper story that is infinitely more magnificent than any lower story chapter by itself. God's continuous theme is repeated over and over again. How much he loves you. Thankfully, how much he loves me. Thank you, Rob. He's provided that way to come back home to him. Throughout the story, that upper story, he continually calls people back. You might remember the stories through the Old Testament into the New, calling people back who've turned away, until he finally gave Jesus the sacrifice for my disobedience and no doubt yours. So if you're a follower of Jesus today, take heart, read Revelation, find encouragement in it. Take courage, for however difficult or dark or wearisome your life may be in your lower story, it doesn't end here. As a believer in Jesus, your story, my story, thankfully, has just begun. And as Christians, we are guaranteed, there's no doubt in that, we are guaranteed a part in God's upper story with him forever. And how good will that be? Thank you, Rob. I want to go back to C.S. Lewis. Don't forget my books. I please don't want to go home with 20 copies. I enjoy them, but having 20 will be too many. Do take one and give one away or read it yourself. I want to go back to C.S. Lewis, wonderful man in what he wrote. God, I believe, gave him that kind of picture to help us understand the Christian story and the end times too. He describes, as I said, the end times and the last battle, that book. And he says these words, and they really touch my heart, and maybe they will do yours too. He says this, and these are the children talking. And for us, this is the end of all the stories. And we can most truly say that they are all lived happily ever after. But for them, it was only the beginning of the real story. All their life in this world and all their adventures in the land of Narnia had only been the cover and the title page. Now, at last, they were beginning chapter 1 of the great story, which no one on earth has read, which goes on forever, in which every chapter is better than the one that is gone before. How exciting is that as we look to eternity? And a simple step of faith reserves a place in that kingdom of God forever. That's why we're going to run the Alpha course again in May after Easter, so people can have the opportunity to discover Jesus as real. I trust he's real for you today, and all that that means for themselves. Who, here's a challenge, on your front line, wherever that might be, at school, at work, in the community, in your neighbourhood, who on your front line have you prayed for to come to faith in Jesus? After Easter, Ruth or I, and I haven't maybe checked this with her, but we're going to give you a bit of string, and I'm going to invite you to tie about 5 knots in that bit of string, and between then and the start of the Alpha course, to pick 5 people, maybe in your class, maybe at work, and to pray for them, and to pray for God to give you the opportunity just to maybe even live the life of Jesus, let alone speak for him. Who could you pray for and maybe even bring along to Alpha? Let's give it a go. Let's trust God with it. In the very beginning, thank you, Rob, God came down and he walked with Adam and Eve because God wanted to do life with us forever. He returned again that first Christmas as an infant, according to God's plan, to once and for all make that way back for all who turn to him to live forever with him in his upper story. Folks, Revelation tells us that Jesus is coming again. There's no doubt in that. He's coming to establish a new community for all of us who've received his forgiveness. So in response, what do we do? Well, I believe in response we echo the words with which St. John finishes his revelation and with which he ends Scripture. The words that continue God's upper story, come, Lord Jesus. So together we say and we pray and we shout aloud, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's bow our heads, shall we, to pray. Again, using some of the Apostle John's words, giving God's words back to him in praise and glory and adoration. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honour and glory and power forever and ever. Amen.